Hello guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, all on the family. But God began to deal with us, we realized something. We're reaching thousands with our seminars, but we can reach millions with our radio program. We're having some great feedback, so we want to encourage today. If this program has helped you in any way, if you've got something out of it, give us a call. Drop us a line, send us a note, email us, and let us know how it's helped you. God told us years ago that we would be doing this in the last days and said our ministry would restore hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people, puts hope back in you, man. God can do all kinds of great things. Part the Red Sea and raise the dead. He can save a marriage. He can save a family. He can help you with your parenting, help you with your money. It is the Word of God. So this program is just based on that alone. It's restoring hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. Give us a line and let us know how it's helped you.
You're listening to Joe McGee.
Somebody's got to get out into the passing lane and start doing something. Well, we got to start training the next generation to think different. I want you to grow up in wisdom. Number two, I need you to grow in stature. Stature means I didn't want you to mature. Jesus matured. Stature means I want you to get to the point you do what's right because it's right to do what's right, not because somebody's looking. I want you to drive the speed limit because it's right to drive the speed limit, not because you're afraid somebody with a bubble on their car is coming around the curve. Do what's right because it's right to do what's right.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh-and-learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
Train up my child the way he should go when he's old and not depart from. My job, and I could just give you 50 scripts, is to teach and train my children. They're all born doofuses. They don't know a thing until you teach them. That's why church is the greatest thing on this planet. This is where we teach the next generation. We teach parents to teach the next generation. We're to put the Word of God in them deep, that the words of Christ dwell in you richly. My children are going to do what they think. You better be thinking about God. You better keep feeding on God. So all of a sudden, I realized my job is to teach and train. So I said, we got to do this. Man, we got a great local church. I love my pastor. We don't have a perfect church. They don't exist. We got a great one. So we came in. We realized we're going to teach you, and we're going to train you. We're going to launch you out. I found in the scripture when I was teaching parenting, taught parenting for 8 years, covered some 364 subjects. I realized when God called us out to teach, I got to boil this down. I can't teach all year. I got to put this in a weekend seminar and boil it into four areas. Here it is, Luke 2:52. Luke 2:52 said, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor of God, and favor of man. Everything I ever taught fell in those four areas. Four areas of parenting. Jesus grew wisdom, stature, favor of God, and favor of man. Jesus grew in wisdom. You know, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get yourself some. Why? Well, wisdom will get you long life, riches, and honor. Proverbs 3:16. I want my kids to live long, have honor, and be blessed. How do you do that? You need wisdom. What do you get wisdom? Well, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 34:11. So every morning, every night, I've prayed over my kids ever since they were conceived. Father, I ask you, teach my children to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 1:7. I've prayed it twice a day all my life. It doesn't make them holy, but I have given God permission. Teach my children to fear you. I'm not going to let my kids go stupid. You know, David prayed, God, search me, see if there be any wicked way in me. If there is, lead me out in the way everlasting. But when I went through just praying all the wisdom scriptures, and I wrote them all down out of Proverbs, I realized wisdom, somebody that grows in wisdom and that Jesus grew in wisdom, is somebody that has a vision for their life. A wise person is somebody that does what's right. If you read Proverbs chapter 1, there are four kinds of kids on this planet. Proverbs chapter 1, it's all in three verses. Wise children, simple-minded, foolish, and scornful. If you're not wise, you're simple-minded. You're not evil, you're not full of the devil. You just have no wisdom. You keep doing dumb stuff over and over. Why? You're not wise. If you stay simple-minded too long, you become a fool. The Bible said it's sport for a fool to make mischief. You'll make a game out of getting in trouble. Stealing stop signs, peeling tires out, seeing how fast you can drive without getting caught. You make a game out of it. You stay a fool too long, you go to stage four. You become a scorner. A scorner hates those that love him. A scorner has the ability to get everybody around him in trouble and never get caught himself. That's why the Bible says, cast out a scorner, expel them, get them out of the midst. Cast out a scorner and strife and contention will cease. Why? They won't cooperate. You're on your own until you decide to come back and be a part of us. So all of a sudden I said, okay, I need to make sure my kids have wisdom. Well, that's having a vision. Jesus grew in wisdom. Well, he had a vision for his life. If you're reading Hebrews, here's what it says about Jesus. Jesus knew where he came from. Because I'd ask him, who are you? I'm the Son of God. Which said, I know where I came from. I laid down my glory in heaven, took on the body of a man born of a virgin birth. I know where I came from. Mom and dad had lost him. Luke 2:49, for 3 days, they were on a caravan. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. He's a 12-year-old boy. Mary finds him. She's yelling, where have you been? We've been looking for you for 3 days. Jesus answered in Luke 2:49, know ye not, I need to be about my Father's business. Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew why he was here. And Hebrews 12 says, Jesus said he endured the cross for the joy sitting in front of him. Jesus knew where he was going. Kids that don't know who they are, why they're here, where they're going, are a show-off. They're going to wear their hat backwards, the britches of a 400-pound man. They're going to play their music real loud and peel their tires. What is that? That's a 5-year-old thumb sucker that doesn't know who he is saying, please look at me. I don't know who I am. I did it, and I was alive when Elvis was alive. What do you do? Wear your hair like Elvis, you know, roll your sleeves up, you know, cut the mufflers off your car. What is it? Please look at me. I don't know who I am. Because the Bible says, mark then of a perfect man, enter that man is peace. A man that knows who he is doesn't have to prove it to anybody. He can show up and be a blessing, not suck the oxygen out of a room. Oh, I need my kids to grow in wisdom. So you pray that and you work with that. I need to plant a vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Years ago, Harvard University was started up in Massachusetts to train preachers, believe it or not, 213 years ago. What are you going to do? We're going to train ministers for the gospel. They left their vision. But somebody had enough sense to start setting some money aside. You know, we're going to need money to do this and train these people. So they created an endowment fund. That's money that makes money. They don't spend it. They set it aside. Money makes money. People don't make money. Today, the endowment fund, we were up there 4 months ago. Their endowment today has $34 billion in it. Billion, not million. Their endowment, they get 12.7% interest off of it. Nobody gets that, and Harvard does. Their money made them $3.9 billion last year. Now, their tuition is already $43,000 a year. That's just tuition, not books, room, and board. And there is a waiting list to get into that university. They don't need your money. They got money. Why? Somebody had a vision to get some money. And so the heathen aren't struggling with money. It's the Christian thing. Why? We've been destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God told us how to handle money, but we don't want to read it. We're just trying to get rich quick. You get it quick. Proverbs says you lose it quick. I don't want to lose it. I want to keep it. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. When my grandfather died, I went to the funeral. Everybody said he's a good man. It was a long funeral. We had to eat outside on the parking lot because we couldn't fit inside the church. They set up the tables on the parking lot. And I remember my uncle got up and tapped on the glass, and everybody's there, and everybody said, my grandfather's a good man. He tapped on the glass and said, okay, appreciate everybody coming to the funeral. Some of you coming from several states away. We're going to pass the hat and have to take up a collection because Grandpa died, and he wasn't working in the mines. They lived in the mining house, but if you die, you can't stay in the mining house, so Grandma's got no place to live, so she's going to live with all 12 of us kids. It'll be the kid of the month for the rest of her life because Grandpa didn't own a house. The other thing is he didn't have money for his funeral. So the casket's on loan, the burial plot's on loan out there. You know, funeral home's loaned it to us because he knows the family. So we're going to have to pay for the casket, pay for the plot. And so he had to pass that 3 times that day to get enough money to pay for my grandfather dying. And everybody at the funeral said my grandfather was a good man. Well, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. My grandfather reached out of the grave 2 generations down, shoved his hand in our pocket, grabbed a wad full of cash, and pulled it back in the hole with him. So biblically, he was not a good man. Because good men provide for their families, not thumbsuck about the economy. Oh, that's quiet. As long as I can blame somebody else, I don't have to do anything. president's fault, Congress fault, Senate's fault, boss's fault, their fault, their fault. I'm fine. No, it's my fault. I'm the head, not the tail, above and not beneath everything except hand to prosperous. God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, supplies all my need, according to the riches of Christ Jesus, wish above all things I'd prosper, being helped as my soul prospers, takes pleasure in my prosperity. Somebody's got to get out into the passing lane and start doing something. Well, we got to start training the next generation to think different. I want you to grow up in wisdom. Number two, I need you to grow in stature. Stature means I didn't want you to mature. Jesus matured. Stature means I want you to get to the point you do what's right because it's right to do what's right, not because somebody's looking. I want you to drive the speed limit because it's right to drive the speed limit, not because you're afraid somebody with a bubble on their car is coming around the curve. Do what's right because it's right to do what's right. Now, you get on seminar, we go into a lot of things on how to teach them to do that. Number three, Jesus grew in favor with God. How do you do that? Well, do what you were called and gifted to do. I got six children, no two are the same. My oldest daughter was a straight-A student all the way through school. Straight A's. Doesn't mean she kept her room clean or told the truth. You understand? She's still sin. She just had a gift. My second daughter, to make that same A, would have to cram every night. But my second daughter was an all-state basketball player. She went to college on a basketball scholarship. My older daughter went to college on an academic scholarship. Your gift, not your sister's gift, not your daddy's gift, not your mama's gift. Your gift will make room for you, bring you before kings and make you wealthy. Quit trying to be like, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. Quit being like, you're not them, be you. Kids put posters up on their bed. I'm going to be like them. You're not them. You don't have their gift. You're a doofus. You're not going to be them. I told my older daughter, I said, don't ever build a bridge. Now, she made straight A's except in algebra. She flunked algebra 2 years in a row. I said, darling, don't ever become an architect and build a bridge. If you build a bridge, put your name on the end of it. Because I'm not going to drive across it because you stink at math. Find out what you're good at. We're going to help our kids find their gift. That's why do not compare yourselves among yourselves. I never looked at my kids' report cards on the same day. What are you good at? And the fourth thing is Jesus grew in favor with man, the most powerful part of this thing. Jesus grew in favor with man. There are more scriptures in your Bible on friends and friendship than there are on the subject of hell. Because you and I will become like who we hang around.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message.
Kids put posters up on their bed. I'm going to be like them. You're not them. You don't have their gift. You're a doofus. You're not going to be them. I told my older daughter, I said, don't ever build a bridge. Now, she made straight A's except in algebra. She flunked algebra 2 years in a row. I said, darling, don't ever become an architect and build a bridge. If you build a bridge, put your name on the end of it. Because I'm not going to drive across it because you stink at math. Find out what you're good at. We're going to help our kids find their gift. That's why do not compare yourselves among yourselves. I never looked at my kids' report cards on the same day. What are you good at? And the fourth thing is Jesus grew in favor with man, the most powerful part of this thing. Jesus grew in favor with man. There are more scriptures in your Bible on friends and friendship than there are on the subject of hell. Because you and I will become like who we hang around. Proverbs 27:17, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. You and I will become like who we hang around. You want to be wise, walk with wise men, a companion of fools, and be destroyed. Proverbs 13:20. I had to teach my kids how to be a friend. No man likes me. Well, it's because you're a doofus. You got body odor. You don't know how to talk to anybody. You're just weird. I wouldn't be your friend either. We're going to have to change you. So I made all of my kids go to 3 nights of etiquette class, teach them how to dress, put on their makeup, how to carry on a conversation. Quit yapping about yourself. People don't want to hear about you. They want you to ask about them. Learn how to be hospitable, how to leave people better than you find them, not gum flap somebody. Let me tell you where I've been, what I've done. Blah, blah, blah. They don't want to know about you. They want you to ask about them. And so all of my kids, all six of mine, again, I don't have any perfect kids, were captains of the athletic teams. Three of my kids won state championships, all got scholarships to college. Well, you were lucky. No, I wasn't. I wasn't lucky at all. We come from a deficit. I lived in a log cabin till I was 5 years old in Turtletown, Tennessee. Our outhouse was out back on two railroad ties over the creek. It was a two-seater. I never could figure that out. Are you supposed to take somebody with you? Are you supposed to sit on one hole and look down the other? I couldn't figure out what the deal was with that. We didn't own a car till I was 7. We rode a bus everywhere. My dad lived in a rent house till I was a junior in college. He never owned his own house. We came from poor, poor people. What'd you learn? I learned God ain't poor no more. That God's good. But he needs somebody to believe him. I'll just leave with this story about training kids. I used to hate the grocery store. 6 kids. We were a two-cart shopper. We went every 2 weeks and 2 carts of groceries with all those kids. And so we go through the cereal aisle. The cereal aisle is like walking through the valley of the shadow of death. When I grew up, a cereal aisle had 2 things, cornflakes and Cheerios. Grab one and let's go. Well, now we got every shape of oats you can imagine. 2 aisles of every kind of flapping jacks, jumping jacks. What? Who did this? Well, man, the kids, you know, go, I say, okay, 1 box. You get together, 1 box of cereal, you understand? By the time we get through that aisle, they all have their own box. I said, that's it, put up, get the oatmeal. I like oatmeal in it, put it up, get the oatmeal. So 2 weeks later, we're back at the thing, we're getting ready to go in, sitting in the Suburban, all the kids are with us. Denise said, Joe, before you go in, cereal aisle, what are we doing? What are we doing? Eating oatmeal. No, Joe, you're supposed to train them. Train them. How are we going to fix this? I hate oatmeal. We can't keep doing this. I looked over the back seat and I said, all right, anybody got any paper back there? Give me a blank piece of paper. Tear it up in 6 pieces. Got a pencil? Somebody, give me a pencil. Come on, quit. Hey, you ain't got any cups? I know there's cups and dishes on the floor back there somewhere. Get me an empty cup. She wrote their name on 6 pieces of paper, put it in a cup, shook it up. I said, here, draw a name out. Who's first? Corey, you're number 1. Another name out. Sarah, you're number 2. John was number 6. Because he's been young. He said, what's that mean? It means you're not eating Cocoa Puffs for 6 weeks. That's what that means. Corey, she loved Cheerios. And I don't mean the honey nut, just the plain, stinky, stick your finger in your throat Cheerios. So we're checking out. She's hugging that cereal box. That's what we're going to eat this week. We're checking out. Look down. Tessa, my 4th daughter, got a little tear coming down her face. What's wrong, baby? You all right? I don't like Cheerios. I said, me neither. Tell you what, why don't you fast this week? If you'll fast, we can stretch this box for 2 weeks. Or maybe you'd like to use your faith and choke these skanky things down, because the sooner they're gone, the sooner we're getting the Apple Jacks. So we'd always prepare the breakfast table the night before. We got up the next morning. We got the little cereal bowls getting ready to go to school. All of a sudden, we're sitting down. When I've got a man in my house now, my son, the newest. All of a sudden, John's come to the table, and he's got a bowl, but he went and got a Tupperware bowl. So he's walking around the kitchen table with a big Tupperware bowl. And he said, John, what are you doing? I said, no, wait a minute. We have some testosterone in the house. Let's see what's going on here. John sets that Tupperware bowl down in front of him, takes and pours a third of a box of Cheerios in that bowl. Come on, I got myself a man. Get rid of those things, son. Get it. And so poured about a 1/4 a gallon of milk. He's going after it. Well, we got the gum flapping. Everybody finished this. Okay, we got to go to school. Let's go. Get up. Let's go. I kissed Denise by. I'm heading out, and I glanced out of my eye, and I looked back at John's bowl. It's still full of cereal. I thought, you little rascal, you. You think you faked me off. I told Denise, put a lid on that. Put that in the refrigerator. Don't you throw that away. And Denise argued, I said, listen, you either do that, I'll pre-soak a bowl tonight. Don't you do it. You put that in, he's eating every one of those. Well, I forgot about it. We get up the next morning, you were coming back, the little bowls, Cheerios that are left. I said, here comes John with another empty Tupperware bowl. I said, oh, no, son, we got you covered. Here, put that back. I got you covered. Now I went in the refrigerator and pulled that bowl out and set it down in front of him at the table. When I popped that lid, you know what, remember Tupperware? It looks like somebody has puked in that bowl. I mean, they've swollen up and stanky looking. I said, now, son, I recommend you eat this today. No, this is going to be worse tomorrow. Well, he's trying to eat them, you know, and he's gagging and his tears are running down. I wipe it up. You're eating every bit of it. My girl, Dad, shut up and eat your cereal. You know, my wife's yelling at me, you're eating every bit of it. And he's crying. So after a while, he said, can I be excused? Fine. I don't care. Put a lid on it. Eat them tomorrow. And so he goes to the kitchen. Now we are sitting in the dining room. I got two French doors. Now I'm looking at the glass. I see the refrigerator door open up and it's shut. And that bowl's still sitting on the kitchen counter. I thought, what's he doing? Because it's not real clear. I'm kind of seeing. All of a sudden, I saw him take the lid off the blender and pour that entire bowl of Cheerios in that blender. And I saw what he got out of the refrigerator. He got the Hershey syrup. And he was like, put the lid on. Poured it in a glass and drunk her down. I said, my God, I've raised a genius. I have raised a genius. The goal in life and parenting is not to have perfect kids. The goal in life is to train them up to solve problems, not avoid problems. Solve problems and fix hell. You've been chosen by God to go fix some hell. Have a great life and lay up some rewards in heaven. Amen. Let's stand up. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. Quickly bow your head, close your eyes. Father, I thank you for those that are here today for this great, great church here, Father. Make them a belly button of the harvest in the last days in Jesus' name. Increase their influence, Father. Lord, I pray for every child represented, every child, foster child, stepchild, grandchild, great-grandchild, Father. I ask you, make our seed mighty upon this planet, Psalm 112. Our seed, our children will be mighty and successful on this planet. Teach our children to fear you. Surround them with divine favor. And I ask you to bring godly friends in our children's life that will strike iron with them, cause them to grow and become all you want them to be in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with a tool for you to use in your marriage.
Okay, this is one gold nugget today. How do you teach your children about serving others? Every child's born with a sin nature. Bible's full of scriptures, you know. I'm born going away from my mother's womb. You know, why that sin nature? Kids are born, that's why they cry. They want what they want when they want it, and I want it now. And they fight, and why? Sin nature. I, me, I, and I. What do you need? Well, number one, you need to be born again. So we're gonna have to wait a little bit on that, but in the meantime, what are you gonna do? Well, I'm gonna start training you. I'm going to train you and I'm going to teach you. How am I going to train you? I'm going to train you how to serve other people that you're going to think it's normal. It's one of the greatest things we did. I realized after 17 years, I lost my wife. The house got my wife. My wife became a housewife, not my wife. I thought, what happened? The house stole my wife. She's doing the dishes, the laundry, cooking dinner, cleaning up, mopping, vacuuming, slapping. And my kids are just having a great time. I thought, something's wrong here. Now, it took a few weeks, but I said, no, I'm going to get my wife back. I'm gonna give my house to my children. So we started setting little job descriptions on the refrigerator. Every day you owe me this much time. You owe me 30 minutes every day. Saturday you owe me 4 hours. Outside that, have a great life.
And so your job's to do the laundry, you're gonna do the dishes, you're gonna vacuum, you're gonna sweep the floor. Now there are times we had to change, I don't like this anymore. Well, let's swap out with your sister or your brother. But you're gonna do 30 minutes with me somewhere today. And all of a sudden they begin to think it was normal when you finish dinner not to run off to your room or outside. No, when you leave the dinner table, you're gonna take your plate and put it in the sink. You're gonna clean it off. You're gonna put it in the dishwasher. And your job, once it's all loaded, is to turn the dishwasher on. So one sibling, get your dishes in here. I got stuff to do. Let me turn this dishwasher on. You're gonna do the laundry. It's just two big square boxes. If you can run a big computer, you can run two square boxes called a washer and a dryer. Just got two buttons on them. So you're gonna run a washer. Now they shrunk some stuff because they didn't read the label. This wasn't simple. They ruined some stuff, but they eventually learned how to do their own laundry, wash their own clothes, clean their own toilet, wipe out the tub when they're through, put the towels in the laundry. Go wash the towels twice a week. That's your job. You're gonna fold them and put them up. My wife's coming back to me and the house is going to you. Well, eventually then you taught them how to serve at school. Jesus said, Matthew, if you wanna be great in my kingdom, I want you to become the servant of all. How do you achieve greatness? Serve people. People don't wanna know what you do. They wanna know what you can do for them. I mean, we learn this in sales. You're trying to meet need. That is the greatest thing you'll ever do, be a need meeting machine. So if you leave home, no, what's your job? I have a lot of jobs. I clean, vacuum, do stuff, make sure my homework's done. I set a calendar, make sure I've got my week planned out. We had a 1 month calendar on the wall. If you're going somewhere this month, get it on there. So we taught, your job is not suck life out of our family, it's to leave our family better than you find it. You're gonna do that by serving your brothers and your sisters and helping one another. Help them get great jobs, help you get raises. People love people that help other people. It's a great lesson. It's gonna help your family a lot, I promise you. Learn how to serve.
Call now, 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.
Hello guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, all on the family. But God began to deal with us, we realized something. We're reaching thousands with our seminars, but we can reach millions with our radio program. We're having some great feedback. So we want to encourage today, if this program has helped you in any way, if you've got something out of it, give us a call. Drop us a line, send us a note, email us, and let us know how it's helped you. God told us years ago that we would be doing this in the last days and said our ministry would restore hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people, puts hope back in you, man. God can do all kinds of great things. Part the Red Sea and raise the dead. He can save a marriage. He can save a family. He can help you with your parenting, help you with your money. It is the Word of God. So this program is just based on that alone. It's restoring hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. Give us a line. Let us know how it's helped you.